Me? You want me to sign them? Oh, cool. Thank you. We're on top of it tonight. We won't do it. And I'm going to notify you, Bob, in about 30 seconds. Oh, now, Bob.
I've heard it get it.
We're going to call to order the Tannehill County Planning Commission public hearing Monday, April the 13th, 2015, 6 o'clock. Bob, establish a quorum, please.
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Brad Lawrence.
Here.
Doug Fabian.
Here.
Randy Fogle.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Ronnie Melton did call. And George Kramer.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Could you explain the meeting procedures, please?
Okay. I'd like to welcome you to the April 13th, 2015 Tannehill County Planning Commission public hearing. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Tannehill County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 permit application, which is filed with the Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Tannehill County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A, the staff report for each case as Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, as Exhibit C, for all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site, and any questions for staff. If you wish to comment at the public hearing, we do have sign-up sheets here at the front of the room, and registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of public comment. The Division 3 applications heard this evening shall be voted upon during the Monday, April 20th, Planning Commission regular meeting. So essentially all of the cases heard this evening will be voted upon next Monday evening, same time, same place. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay, the first one up, thank you, be the Beaver Creek Wine Company.
Okay, this is case number 2015-6. The project is the Bear Creek Wine Company. The applicants are Rebecca and Dennis Tate. And the property in question is located at 1320 Keithley Road, Walnut Shade, Missouri. And here's the property in question. And we'll zoom in here. It's in the Jasper Township, Section 6, Township 24, Range 21. And we've got a few views of the property in question from pictometry from the north, south, east, and west. The applicants, Rebecca and Dennis Tate, are requesting approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the establishment of the Bear Creek Wine Company. The background on this: on October 15, 2001, the Planning Commission issued Division 3 Special Use Permit 2001-34, authorizing the development of a four-unit bed and breakfast to be operated out of the applicant's private residence, referenced as the Bear Creek Bed and Breakfast. On March 20, 2006, the Planning Commission issued Division 3 Permit 2006-13, authorizing the construction of two additional cabins to be added to this existing bed and breakfast. The second permit was issued as a Division 3 permit, a commercial permit versus a special use permit, and therefore it is viewed as being transferable without Planning Commission approval. The current application was approved for concept on March 16th of this year. The subject property is an approximately 7.05 acre meets and bounds described tract of land. The applicants have indicated that they've been operating the Bear Creek Wine Company for the last 2 years. The applicants are now seeking Planning Commission approval for the production of wine on site. The wine will be produced on site within the existing commercial kitchen. The applicants have indicated that they already prepare food and conduct a catering operation from the existing commercial kitchen. Since the Bear Creek Wine Company will involve the production of wine within the existing commercial kitchen located within the Bear Creek Bed and Breakfast, there will be no additional parking, stormwater, wastewater, or buffering requirements. Scott Sterrett, the Taney County on-site wastewater permitting individual, has written a letter indicating that the existing wastewater system will not be required to be upgraded so long as there is no addition of new buildings or kitchen expansion. The Bear Creek Wine Company website indicates that the operation is currently open to the general public from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. The adjoining property immediately to the north is Light Residential and Keithley Road. The adjoining property immediately to the south is predominantly large vacant tracts of land. The adjoining property immediately to the east is primarily Light Residential, and the adjoining property immediately to the west is primarily vacant, with some Light Residential further to the west. The project received a total score of -6 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 37. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of right-of-way on existing roads and utilities. The staff recommendations on this: if the Taney County Planning Commission approves the request for the Bear Creek Wine Company, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Federal Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, and also the Alcohol and Tobacco Control Division of the Missouri Division of Public Safety, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Third, the Bear Creek Wine Company shall be open to the general public from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Four, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Five, this decision is subject to all existing easements. And six, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a couple of very brief videos here. Just shot one video basically right at the entrance off of Keithley Road. And we just do a fairly quick 360 here. And this is, of course, the existing entrance. And in the second one, we just went ahead and basically drove through the property. Yeah, that's all I all we have at this point.
Has anybody got any questions for Rebecca? See anything we need to change on the? Nothing. Everybody's quiet tonight. Okay.
That's it.
I guess we'll see
thanks.
You.
Thanks. Hey, I should have brought my wine.
as long as you bring enough for everybody.
We'll see you next Monday. You need to come back next Monday at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you. That one was easy. Branson Trails, Ronald Smith.
This is case number 2015-7. The project is Branson Trails. The applicant is Kara Stauffer, and the representative is Ronald Smith. And the property in question is located at 7318 State Highway 248, Branson. And here's the property in question. Just to kind of zoom in here. It's located in the Branson Township, Section 2, Township 23, Range 22. The applicant and representative are requesting approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the development of Branson Trails, a recreation-based development proposal, which includes an extensive list of proposed uses as described in the general description. The representative has indicated that the Branson Trails development will be located upon three adjoining parcels of land with a total acreage of approximately 42.22 acres. The first parcel the assessor's office indicates as being approximately 3.89 acres. The second parcel is approximately 4 acres and contains the existing building that the representative plans to utilize as the disc golf shop and clubhouse, and also nightly rental. And the third parcel of property is an approximately 34.33 acre parcel of property, which formerly contained a mobile home park. It's my understanding that the mobile homes have now been removed from the former mobile home park. The current application was approved for concept on March 16th of this year. The proposed Branson Trails recreational development, again, will be located on a total of approximately 42.22 acres. This proposed phased development proposal will contain an extensive list of uses, with the focal point being two 18-hole disc golf courses. The representative has indicated that this proposed project will be implemented in phases and may include the following list of uses: a golf disc shop and clubhouse, a auto sales facility, a buy here, pay here auto facility, parking lot, two 18-hole disc golf courses, an orchard, ATV trail, mountain bike trail, hiking and observation trail, seating areas, disc golf training facilities, driving range, putting green, and fire pits. Phase two, they've listed a four-room nightly rental, which would be located above the disc golf shop, 12 tent campsites, a laundry slash locker room, playground areas, picnic area, pavilion, hiking, observation trail, seating areas, and six RV sites. And in phase three, the applicants were proposing to rebuild the linchpin cabin and relocate it from Branson West. This would be available for public viewing with the historic information inside. And they're also, during this later phase, proposing to build a barn, which would be available for possibly be available for such uses as family reunions, weddings, meetings, etc. And the representative has indicated that this would be a phased development that would be developed over a period of years. They've provided us basically with three conceptual site plans, one showing each phase with all of the uses enumerated earlier listed under each phase. In review, since mixed uses are proposed, per the provisions of Table J1 of the Development Guidance Code, the on-site parking space requirements will be required to be determined on a proportional basis based upon the proposed uses. The parking areas will have to be designed based upon these specific uses. The applicant will have adequate property area to ensure adequate parking. However, the staff proposes that a condition be placed on the Division 3 permit requiring the submission of a more detailed site plan, indicating such items as improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities, in order to ensure compliance with the Development Guidance Code. The representative has indicated that, at least at this time, that really no new buildings are planned to be constructed. The applicant representative are in the process of remodeling the existing structure that we've got pictured below, located at 7318 State Highway 248. At least according to the assessor's information, the structure actually began as a mobile home, and a series of additions have been added to the structure over time. The representative has indicated, it's my understanding, that the lower level of the structure would act as the disc golf shop and clubhouse, and then also the office for the auto sales facility. The upper floor is then to be utilized as a four-room nightly rental. The conceptual site plan for phase two also indicates a portion of the building in question may also at some point be utilized as a laundry slash locker room for the 12 tent campsites. Prior to utilizing the upper floor of the existing structure for nightly rental, the existing septic system will be required to be upgraded, ensuring compliance with state and county regulations. Even though the applicant representative are seeking the approval for the Branson Trails development via a Division 3 permit, per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, nightly rental would be viewed as requiring a special use permit, which would not be transferable if it was approved that way without Planning Commission approval. Please note that even though a Division 2 permit is not required for the remodeling of the existing building, the personnel from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District have indicated that a permit will be required via the fire district due to the significant change in the use of the building. As the phases of the Branson Trails are developed, the wastewater flows may exceed 3,000 gallons per day and or six units. If either of those numbers are exceeded, then we would have to have, it would require the approval of the Missouri Department of Natural Resources. The laundry slash locker room for the 12 campsites, the four-room nightly rental, the disc golf shop, and the six RV sites would require really significant upgrades to the wastewater treatment system or systems. A number of neighboring property owners and tenants have signed a petition, which was submitted to the Planning Department office, indicating their opposition to the use of ATVs and dirt bikes on the property. The staff recommends that the hours of operation be limited concerning this use. The staff further recommends that the ATV trails and the use of the ATV trails potentially be limited to the easternmost parcel of land. That would really limit the exposure to some of the noise from the existing mobile home park. The adjoining property immediately to the north is an existing mobile home park and light residential. The adjoining property immediately to the south is El Monte Road and then vacant property. The adjoining property immediately to the east is primarily vacant property. And the adjoining property immediately to the west is State Highway 248 and then primarily vacant property as well. The project received a score of negative 26 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 59. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal surface, stormwater drainage, use compatibility, and utilities. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves the Branson Trails request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the Taney County Road Standards that include plans for the following. 1. Sediment and erosion control. 2. Stormwater management. 3. Land grading permit for all non-agricultural land disturbances of over 1 acre. 4. Utility easements and building line setbacks. And 5. Improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. 2. Compliance letters from the Missouri Department of Transportation, the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, and the Missouri Department of Natural Resources shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. 3 Division II permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. 4 The representatives shall either submit a compliance letter from the on-site wastewater permitting division of the Planning Department or shall provide a copy of a valid construction permit for a wastewater treatment system via the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, providing for the applicable wastewater flows prior to the issuance of the Division III permit certificate of compliance. 5 Prior to the issuance of the Division III certificate of compliance, the developer shall first present a certificate of occupancy from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District to the Planning Department office. 6 The representative shall submit a DNR construction permit for a well or wells to provide service to Branson Trails. 7 All ATVs and ATV riding shall be limited to the easternmost parcel of property. Absolutely no ATVs shall be operated upon the 2 westernmost parcels of land. Number 8, Branson Trails should be limited to the following hours of operation. Disc golf courses, daylight hours 7 days a week. Disc golf shop and clubhouse, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days a week. ATV trails, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Car sales, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. 9, the representatives shall provide proof of liability insurance to the Taney County Planning Department prior to opening day of operation. 10, any internal roadways within the Branson Trails development shall be constructed in compliance with the Taney County Road and Bridge Standards. 11, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 12, this decision is subject to all existing easements. And 13, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. And we've got a couple of fairly brief videos here. We've tried to. In this one, it's my understanding that this would primarily be the location of the proposed auto sales facility, this existing concrete pad area. The building in question would serve multiple uses, and then we've done a quick 360 here. I believe as of now, and I'll let the applicant explain in maybe greater detail, but it's my understanding that this area will serve as both the frisbee or the disc golf course, and also has served as the ATV riding area as well.
You want me to speak, Bob?
I'd recommend take a sign down and see.
No stress.
Bob, go back up there to 7. On your,
okay.
Please. We need to reword that somehow, number 7. I don't know. But if you just limit it to the eastern side, then you've got mountain bikes and hiking. And if we don't reword that somehow, a bunch of people are going to get crossed up out there, I think. So, anybody got any ideas how to reword that?
Well, it's separated by the parcel.
Do what? You didn't say anything? No.
Well, it's separated by the parcel number now. You want it more individual than that?
I think we need to make sure he puts, it's wrote on there that he puts, make sure he puts up some kind of sign so we can regulate it somehow.
How big a part of your project is the ATVs going to be? I mean, you can go out there and do that right now today. You won't have to spend any money, but open a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm worried about is the mountain bike and the hiking. Where are you going to do all this?
You mean you think they might get on the same trail?
Yeah.
Get ran over?
That's I'm with you. I understand what you're talking
about. Put on there somehow over there signs. Make sure you put signs up.
We're talking
are they
about
all going to be intermingled in the same property?
Yes. Yeah.
That is
we're
a problem.
Talking
yeah.
about bicycles, and we're talking about hikers, mm-hmm. and we're talking about trail bikes, and then the full-blown ATV type.
Yeah, there's different trails.
You can't put them all in the same pot.
Yeah. So right. you say there are different trails? Are they going to be separated? Or?
Yeah, well, the disc golf course will have fairways. And then, so basically the trail, the ATV trail, is basically a service road cut in so I could service the whole property.
Can you go back up
and get around
map,
it?
Bob,
yeah, that's what I was
saying. Have you got a pointer there in front of you, Ronald?
No.
Are you going to have pedestrians on your ATV trails?
Well, that's what I'm afraid of.
Bikers and bikers and trails and trail bikes and
good.
ATVs.
And we need to put it on there.
You will have to cross a trail, like, in order to navigate the property. Yes, you'd have to cross it.
A
so,
pedestrian trail may cross an ATV trail.
Yeah, it would be a bridge or, yeah.
Okay,
but
well,
I would have a sign saying.
Yeah, but you'll have grade level crossings as well.
Yeah. Wherever, like, a walking trail would cross it, or if you finish hole 7 and you got to travel 100 feet over and you'll cross the ATV trail. Other than intersections, no.
Your pedestrians and your ATVs are separate?
Yes.
Okay, how many intersections do you anticipate?
I would anticipate probably at least 10.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I think we need to change number 7 to make sure that that's all in there.
What is your proposed length of this? You've got 40 acres there, roughly, and less than that that you're working with. Take the two front ones off. The length of the amount of trail? How much trail are you going to have in length? I mean, how many feet or whatever you're thinking about?
I haven't measured it, but it's already cut in.
Do they weave back and forth, or just run?
No, it's basically a loop around.
Around 40 acres.
I got to navigate. How's this work?
42 acres.
Yeah, this is my flat land up here.
A mile and
so
an eighth.
So pretty much there's a straight shot down. Then you got to work your way down, and then it loops back up top, almost a big loop.
That's the ATV?
Yeah. And the course will play all the way out here.
Out where?
All of it. I'm going to have a hole
course
1.
Will be on the hole 42 acres?
Yes. Yes, sir. Hole 1, hole 18, another hole 1, another hole 18 up here.
Do you have a site map kind of that shows your layout of what all you're planning on doing?
Other than what this?
I mean, what you... something designating where your trails are going to be, something designating where your fairways are going to be for your disc golf and your different holes.
Hand sketched, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good just so we could kind of get a picture in our mind where things are going to be laid out up there.
Yeah, cause right now you got ATV trails, mountain bike trails, hiking.
That's a lot.
Them three alone is
that's high density.
We need to have some kind of a site map of some sort.
That covers a lot of ground when you got all three of them going together.
It takes a lot of brain work to try to get it all put together.
Well, we don't want to get into something that won't be acceptable.
What are you anticipating, like on ATVs? I mean, how many in your case scenario to make this a successful operation? How many ATVs you think you need to put on these trails?
To make it successful?
Yeah, I think you're trying for a successful operation.
I don't have to put any on it, but if I end up getting tent sites, RV, and nightly rentals, it'd be nice to offer that amenity to you could bring your ATV and use it recreationally.
I guess what I'm trying to get to is I'm trying to decide on a given day how many ATVs are going to be on your 40 acres, I guess is what I'm asking.
And how many are all going to intermingle with the golfers and the hikers and the bikers? And
I couldn't, I mean, I don't think I could speculate. We thought
of... You haven't set any limit then, how many?
No, I figured you would. Honestly, we were contemplating doing away with it just because we can't get insurance.
Well, you can't take 42 acres, and just put them three pieces alone. If you got, say, 25 or 30 people doing each one of them things, that's 75 people running around on 42 acres.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Were you going to offer this just to the people that came with the RVs to ride a ATV, or are you
going
to let the public come in and bring their ATV?
Yeah, are you going to furnish
them,
I guess?
I wouldn't furnish them, no. They would. Everybody would bring their own.
That's the question. Are the people camping and staying here, you can have a dozen ATVs cruising around out there and taking their time and looking at the wilderness, you can have 50 of them out there running hot laps?
The first one.
Okay.
You hope.
I hope, yeah. And I understand it's crowded. What we have to work with is I'm doing two disc golf courses, and I know that's my main priority. I spoke with one of my neighbors. He asked about it, and I said, well, actually, we're thinking about doing away with it just because we're having problems getting it insured. Well, we can't get it insured.
I understand.
And I need to fit in more disc golf holes.
Just in your first phase, you've got 10 different things that you're wanting to do.
Yes, sir.
And that's an awful lot of things to be trying to crowd in just the first phase.
I've got a question. I don't get out much. What is disc golf?
Frisbee golf.
Frisbee golf.
Yeah. Frisbee golf.
Frisbee golf?
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah, I don't get
that
at all.
All right. That's something that's starting to work into this area.
Yeah, I installed a course out at Branson Cedars, across from Big Cedar Lodge. It's had great response. Yeah.
Kind of like the zip line.
So your main concern, or what you really want to do, you're going to be focusing on the golf course.
Correct, 100%.
And then you're going to have some cars up there for sale, setting out there to people to
interested. Yeah, and...
Well, I don't know how...
Yes.
Any of the rest of the board feels, but I would consider...
I would narrow it down.
Oh, yeah. I'd take two or three of these off the board.
Okay.
On your first phase. Then you got six on the second phase. Now, them is more practical.
They would coincide with the frisbee golf.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the rest doesn't really coincide with each other.
But it's really not our job to tell him what he wants. He needs to rank before us, and we'll vote on it.
Yeah. You need to decide.
But we're trying to help you.
Thank you.
I have a question. How can we set his operating hours? I mean, if I wanted to go to work at 8 o'clock, but the county says I can't go until 9.
Do what now?
Well, it says here. Some staff recommendations.
We can recommend anything.
That's staff recommendation.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's...
Whether he wants to or not. To operate those
hours. If it, if it's set by staff recommendations and we vote on it, then that's what it is. If he don't like the time limits or the time on the thing, then now's the time to be talking about it.
He needs to bring it up, and maybe we can make some.
I don't have a problem with times. Number 7 is the only thing I had an issue with. The number 7 is the only thing I would had a question about.
Well,
I can't use an ATV on the east side of my property.
I'm suggesting this of safety concerns. You know, you got ATV and mountain bikes and then hiking. So you got three different things that are on a small acreage.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can't tell you to take it off, but we can recommend to try to help you.
That's right.
I don't see any harm in him using an ATV to do maintenance on his golf course.
No.
Yeah, I got a Ranger crew cab.
They're not that loud.
No, I don't see anything wrong with that, but
it's not as loud as a quad. Good. Yeah.
That don't go along with the trails.
I've got a question. El Monte Road, is any of that play a portion in this property and access, and how is that going to affect the surrounding property?
I have access off 248 and right up here. Eventually, it would be nice to put the campground and things down here. It's a county road, but it's not maintained. And I was told it won't be maintained unless there's three houses down the road, or maybe. It used to be maintained when it was a trailer park.
Yeah, but he's talking about your property line to the highway.
Right. The question is, Doug, you see where it comes off 248 up there?
Yeah, right up in here.
No, that just didn't show that as part of his access.
Yeah.
Right. That may be just Bob, can you zoom out and show some more of that El Monte Road? Maybe.
I don't know how far. Yeah.
Kind of goes up there and dead ends off the airport, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's undrivable. Even in my Ranger, it's.
It actually goes into that road up on top of the mountain at the airport, don't it? Yeah, like trail all the way through.
There looks at it. Down on the lower end, it's called the Mail Road. I know where that access is.
Yeah.
He's correct. It's not drivable.
It's rough.
It doesn't show it connecting to the highway. Whether they used it in the past, I don't know. But I was just curious how that's going to, if that road plays into that.
It's got, you know, the green county sign or whatever. And I called on it, and they just said, you know, the lady told me it wasn't they don't maintenance it anymore. And I said, well, you used to. And they said there's no houses down it, and if there's three or more houses, they would. That's what I was told.
Guys, what do you want to do? What do you want to recommend here, and then we'll listen to.
I guess I have a question. The main concern is you're looking for your disc golf course, you want to sell some cars, you want to have some RV and tent rentals. That's your main goal.
Yes, sir. Not RV. I'm not going to rent out any.
Something new.
I see what you're saying. Like an RV spot.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's what you're looking at.
Yes.
The trails are also something, but really, those are the main things you're really looking for to start.
The disc golf course, the disc golf shop, the car lot.
I'll tell you.
I'd like to see it drawn out.
I'd say, Ronald, if you'll sit down for a minute, we've got 8 people here to kind of give you an idea of it.
Yes, sir.
We'll see what they got to say. Mike Hazard.
Thank you.
State your name for her, would you please?
Michael Hazard.
That helps me later. I don't have to. Go ahead.
I live at 7477 State Highway 248 in Mobile Home Park. I'm the last one in the back, so I'm the furthest away from that place. 2-3 weeks ago, they cranked up ATVs. With my window shut, my door shut, I still can't listen to my TV. It's that loud. And I think there should be no ATVs out there. There's a much better place to run ATVs anyway. They got a state park out here about 60 miles. It has 87 miles of trails just for that. And that's about all I really want to say.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ed Nightingale.
Ed Nightingale. I'm a resident of Emery Creek Ranch, and I'm really concerned about the noise on the ATVs down our way echoing down there. I moved down there 4 years ago to retire, and I sure don't look forward to sitting out on my deck and listening to that stuff. So I would, you know, the way I get tonight, maybe he's not going to do that, and that'd be the best way. I think that's all I got to say.
Okay. Thank you, Ed. I want to remind everybody that's on this list. Both the boys just stepped up here, kind of talked about the same thing. So if you just got something different, well, fine. If we're kind of covering the same thing, it'd save everybody time if we just move on. Ginger McIntosh. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce it. Okay.
That's okay. Wouldn't be the first time it wasn't ever pronounced right.
I was close.
Thank you for letting me speak. I'm speaking on behalf and the behalf of Emery Creek Board and the residents in the subdivision. We may not live as close as 600 feet away from the property. However, what they build will have an impact on Emery Creek residents and the whole area around us. The area around 7332 State Highway 248 is now residential and has many tranquil wooded areas with a lot of wildlife. As they make ATV trails, the beautiful wooded areas will become trampled down and the wildlife in danger of hunters or people destroying their habitat. I know you said not to talk about the ATVs that much, but I don't know how, if a person is going to bring their own personal ATV, how he's going to be able to control what that person is doing that far away. As I have driven by the property, I've seen lots of clearing of the land, a sign for the used car dealership, and other signs of construction. With all the projects they are supposedly working on, 248 is already a busy and hazardous road. This would only create more issues. Before you grant the zoning change, there should be more concrete plans, or the whole area could get out of control and become an eyesore for the whole area in more ways than one. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ginger. Guy Reddick.
My name is Guy Reddick. I have a question for the commission. The western side of the property, the two parcels in the front, they have been deemed that no ATVs would be put on that. Is that because of sound buffering, or for what reason is that? The reason I ask that is that my property runs along the total northbound here, if I may show you.
This is my house. This is my property. This is a valley going down the other side. If they're pulling the trails up through here, I get straight sound going straight across here. And if they use this as a buffering here, there should be a buffering going that way too against my property, because that's my private residence. And if it's been caused
because of the private residence for the other people, it should be the same for all private residences. The Ron was also saying, though, that he's probably not going to put in the ATVs because of insurance, and at which point all he needs to do is to withdraw that from his application, because as long as that's in with the planning permission, it means at any time he's able to do this. If it's pulled out, it means it has to go back to hearing again to be done, and that would solve a lot of problems for everybody.
Thank you. Richard Combs.
My name is Richard Combs. I own the Mobile Home Park, Country Living Mobile Home Park, that you see adjacent to that on the west side of the highway. You were talking about the noise. These ATVs that were used there, they were three. They had to call in the law to shut it down. It was such a racket. And they have no baffles in the mufflers. You're not talking about one I could use here to, you know, circle a place and look it over. You're talking about something that has no baffles in it, no respect for others. After they got through, the law shut them down, you would thought, well, they would have loaded them up and taken them home. No, they didn't. They got on them, and up the highway they went, just wide open. They have no respect for the neighbors or the people in that vicinity. And I, would, again, would request that you remove the dirt bikes, not the mountain bikes. The mountain bikes is a bicycle. But the dirt bikes are motorized, the ATVs, they are a noisy substance. My neighbor lived three-quarters of a mile away, and he was trying to figure out what in the world the racket was. So you put it on the east side of that, that's still within three-quarters of a mile. And the people in my park, I wouldn't blame them for moving, but, you know, that's a finance, and some of them have been there for 28 years. And it's not right to ask them to leave because you allowed certain things like an ATV in the area. So my request is remove that from the zoning plan. And also, again, I didn't see any zoning signs go up, nor even an address saying 7318. If you were driving by there, didn't know, you wouldn't know what address you were talking about that was then sent out. And I didn't see any planning and zoning sign until yesterday I noticed it was put up. Now, it may have been earlier, I don't know, but I'm just telling you, yesterday was the first time I seen that planning and zoning sign that was supposed to be put up on the property. Thank you.
Thank you. Greg, I'm not even going to try it. Is there Greg here that wants to talk on this? Are you Greg?
Yep.
Pope?
Yep.
Is that right? Well, I should have tried it then. I'm sorry. You ride it like I do.
I just wanted to say that by and large what they're trying to do, with some exceptions to noise ordinance, I believe would be a benefit to the area. Trying to bring in more tourism helps keep all of our tax dollars lower. And I think the vast majority of what they want would be a good thing to have here. You know, I understand everybody's concerns regarding noise. I'm a property owner just a couple down. I also share many of those concerns, but the reality is it's probably not going to be that much traffic. It's not like they're putting on an AMA event or something like that on a professional track where you're going to have hundreds of people showing up. But a disc golf course and, you know, mountain biking and hiking trails, brother, I've walked up and down a lot of them hills, and they are spectacular to see. And I think the whole of what they want to do is a good idea with a few tweaks on it.
I live out in the sticks 40 miles east or 20 miles east of here. Me and Randy both, we hear all kinds of noise. See this every day, every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason you're all talking about noise, I'm talking about safety. And I think the commission is here more concerned about the safety of putting motorized people, mm-hmm, hiking and bicycles together,
yep,
out there. So that's our concern, but I understand yours is concerned too, the noise.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Ronald, you want to come back up? Has anybody got any more questions for Ronald, or do anybody want to recommend that we change?
Well, I think the intermingling of the motorized vehicles, just like Steve just talked about, and the walkers and the golfers and the hikers, as far as in my thinking, is not a good proposition at all.
Not a good mix.
Not a good mix. And that's my opinion. Everybody else may have
different
opinions.
That's right. We all have our opinion.
Yeah.
And I do agree. I do agree, too. Another problem we haven't even talked about, if you do go turning people loose with four-wheelers and ATVs, unless you've got that 40 acres fence, they're not going to go where your lines are at.
Yeah. And they won't care where your lines are.
They don't care.
And I would like to see a site plan. I don't know about everybody else, but a little more thinking went into it.
We've got to have a little more information before I personally could vote for it.
Okay.
Well, there's a thing or two that you've got 10 things here on phase one, but I don't see, unless you've already got it, But in phase one, I don't see nothing with the bathroom or...
Yeah, already, Scott already came out and...
Public bathroom? Is that in the...
Scott already came out and looked at it and he said...
Is that in here?
He said he'd write me a letter.
But we don't see where you're going to have it planned to put it. We'd like to have
it's in the existing building. One. Number one on the map.
And that's the only one you're going to have? For all the campers and all the hikers and all?
On the other phases, I've got a well down on the bottom where the trailer park was. It would go in down there.
So phase two, when that goes in, you've got...
Yeah, we want to build like a campground style.
And the tents, and there will be a bathroom.
Yeah,
and
down at the bottom. Right to six.
Shower and all that stuff down there.
It looks to me like
there's two. The laundry locker room, there'll be a bathroom up top. There's already one there from the existing. But if we go nightly rentals upstairs, we'll have to upgrade the septic and everything. And that's where there'll be a laundry room, locker room there. Then down on the bottom where the campground and the RV park is going to be, there'd be a like a campground style bathroom down there.
Are you looking for approval for all three of these phases at this time or just phase one?
I think I'd assume phase one.
Is there adequate sewer facilities in place to handle phase one now?
Yes. And Scott, I think Scott said he was writing a letter for that. I don't know if he did or not.
Well, what he is probably writing letters saying is that it has sewer for the one bathroom, but I don't know how many people you're going to have using that one bathroom.
Is it just a bathroom in a house? Is that what it is?
There was an existing bathroom in the bar. The whole downstairs used to be a bar.
Oh, okay, I know.
Yeah, Lion's Den.
Not that I was there, but yeah.
Right. and then
up by it when you was working.
And then there was two bathrooms upstairs existing. It was a 1,500 gallon septic tank. He said it would be standard for a single family or a single family type home.
Single.
Three toilets.
Single family. Did we get anything from him, Bob?
I don't know that we're talking yet. I'd have to get that before it went further.
Yeah, we have to know there's adequate sewer facilities before phase one.
Yes, before Bob would issue that permit.
How many people can play disc golf at one time?
All of us.
Everybody in here?
Yeah, I'm going to have...
And you got how many bathrooms?
Tournament weekends, I'll have some porta potties brought in.
Do you plan on having people bring these ATVs out and just charge them a fee to run on your trails?
That was the business plan, yeah. I can't get insurance on it, so.
Yeah. How would you feel about, since you can't get insurance, wait and see if you can get insurance and let's just delete the ATV thing for now and get your phase one and start the other part of your business and make good friends with your neighbors and then get some insurance and find out what happens later.
Move it to a different phase?
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Can I get that in writing for my wife? I had a great idea.
But no, I can on a disc golf tournament with two courses, I can put four people on every hole. The math's not that quick. 180 players at one time.
That's
You say you do the one at Big Cedar?
Yes, sir. Across the street at Branson Trails. It used to be Oakmont Golf Course.
Yeah. So how many restrooms you have there for the?
They have one in my pro shop, and then there's one out on the course. About on hole seven, there's a playground. It'd be similar to this. When you hit hole nine on my course, that's going to be the break before you turn around and head back up the hill. There'll be a there'll be a campground there, bathrooms, water.
How long does it take them to run through a game of disc golf? We're off the subject now, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. It depends on the course entirely. You have one in Sunset Park, downtown Branson. I can run through it in 30, 45 minutes.
That's kind of like playing regular golf. It depends on the course.
Yeah, and the one out on Branson Cedars, it's more like a Pebble Beach. It's going to be two and a half hours. It's the real deal.
Okay, guys, what do we want to do here?
So come back with a site plan and maybe address your ATVs, your phase one. And
there. Okay.
Yeah, and keep in mind, if you take the ATV off, you got nine of them left, and you still have to look at some of them.
Thin it down.
Look at some of them, see.
Yeah, but all those were pretty well intermingled.
Well.
You know, I mean,
I don't know. Can you play disc golf through a car lot?
Well, you have to keep it somewhere split. You're right.
Well, I'm just looking at it. I said here, you've got a disc golf course throughout the entire property, ATV through the entire property, hiking trails through the entire property, mountain bike trails through the entire property. I mean, and everything's for the entire property. We don't have any definition of what we're voting on here. You know, I mean,
we need a site plan.
That would help us a lot.
We need something more definite, in my opinion.
A site plan would help us a bunch. We can look at it, and if you got your hikers, if they're covering 10 acres, if your bikers is covering 10 acres, your car lot's going to cover a 50-foot square or whatever, you know, it just would help us.
Okay.
Know a little more. So does he need to bring out Bob at a regular meeting? That'd be fun.
That would really be best.
When do you want it?
Or you can get it to Bob.
Okay.
Get it to him before next Monday.
And then I can provide copies to the Planning Commission.
But then there again, how are you going to provide public hearings for people to see whether people are still... There's a lot of people here concerned about this.
Yeah.
And they need to know about what he's going to whittle it down and what it is to, not, you know, I mean...
I'm glad you brought that up. I kind of...
Can we add it to the agenda for next week and then push the vote to the following month?
Well, I hate to do that because we'll just be bringing all these people back.
Am I to the understanding that the ATVs is off the table now?
Are they off the table, Ron?
Yeah, we can move it to like a different phase and revisit it.
I'm not going to answer a lot of questions out in the audience, so.
So it's still on the table for later on?
Well, yeah, but it would have to be voted on and ran through.
Yeah, later on.
And there'd be a public hearing again.
Yeah.
I think that in this small piece of property and this highly dense usage, it's going to be hard to ever have any kind of motorized.
Yeah, I can put it on phase three, and we'll probably be tacking on a different piece of property to it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You still have right for your personal ATVs on your property.
Right.
Yeah. And people may not like that either, but that's a right that you still do have. But anytime you make it into a business and start doing something else, then your neighbors.
Correct.
That's what they're hardest for, to kind of watch out for it.
And they don't like the private use part, because that's all that's been done. Maybe 3 or 4 weekends since I've owned it for 7, 8
okay,
months.
Okay, we can sit here and talk all night, guys. We need to figure out what we want to tell him or what we recommend.
If you want it to fly and pass through this board, I think you need to really focus on what you want to do and have a good site plan and a good idea of what you want to do.
Okay.
The way it is right now, it's so loosely ended, I would have to recommend to deny it.
Okay.
So you are going to take the ATVs out of the equation for phase one?
Yes, sir.
You're going to put them in for phase three?
Yes, sir.
What kind of time frame do you think you're looking at between phase one and when you begin in phase three?
4 years.
Okay.
And I'm trying to buy a piece of property that would make everybody happy. It's further away.
But if you can't get insurance on that, it may never happen.
Right. Correct.
Okay, so at the very worst for these folks, in 4 years, 3 or 4 years, they're going to have to come back and talk about ATVs again.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, I saw this tried once before, very near here, and wound up to make it where if you make it totally legal and everything, then the whole piece of property, this last time it was on 300 or 400 acres, and it makes the whole acreage commercial. And you're going to find a different taxation schedule on commercial property than you are just on residential property. And so, you know, that's a consideration, and it was enough of a thing on this last one that it made the business fail because they couldn't afford the taxation, even though the business was successful in renting out four-wheelers.
Yeah.
But they couldn't make enough money to make it go, even though there was people going all the time. So it's a difficult thing to make something like this work.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on it to be a big moneymaker. It was just more of an amenity for somebody coming to stay.
Are you planning on the car lot being a big moneymaker?
I hope so. Yes.
I'd like to see if we can find out a little more information if he's going to utilize that road beside the property to access the lower end future.
Yes, that's the only way in.
Well, we need to find out on the road if he's going to drop the ATVs.
I don't see any other way myself than to have a complete different site plan.
Yeah.
Everything be more complete and have another public hearing on it. That's the only way to be fair to both applicants and the people that live around it.
Yep.
I mean, I know it's a problem, and you don't want to have to do this. You'd rather be watching I Love Lucy or something.
The reason I asked you about your car lot, that's between that and ATVs, if you're going to be primary on the golf deal and you want to keep your mountain bikes and hiking, I'm just concerned about the car lot if you're going to have all this other stuff going on in phase one.
Now, the car lot's directly off the road. Sets right in the middle of the property, and I got drives on both sides of it, so I have parking on both sides of the car lot. So the car lot will basically be.
I hate to have everybody have to come back for another public hearing, but unless I'm wrong, Bob, that's the only way we can do it.
Well, the other choice is we can vote on it next week, just with what we see.
No, we can do that.
I was going to say, I think it would be best if. Because really, the Planning Commission has...
If we get a plat...
Has the opportunity either to vote yes, no, or to table it to a later date.
At the Raider meeting, we can reschedule it for a public hearing at a later time.
I mean, if the Planning Commission voted to table it to a specific date, you
So if we get the road that Randy is concerned about and a site plan...
I can have the site plan. What do I got to do on the road? Is that me or you? What do I need to find out?
I want to find out if that property has access, because what I see there, that road access in a different direction. It may have been used, but I need to find out if that's public access. If it is, it needs to be in compliance. Right now, you don't have access from the highway, and that's your only access to the lower part of the property. I mean, you can build internal roads.
And really what...
From what I see, you've got access that's going into the property off of that road, so it's being used. But on that highway frontage property, just below the arrow, right there,
yeah.
You need to find out what access goes across there.
It's two tracks out from where the...
Right. See, that's not...
How there's no line right here?
Yeah.
That's not on you.
That's Colby Gentry. That's the south side of the road, right here. That's Colby, and that's me. And the same way all the way down. That's
See how that road is not on your property or joining your property?
Yeah, there's a line through it.
Yeah, and kind of what
road is on his
property.
On that other map, it showed that it did join it down below there. There.
Right there.
Joined it right at the end.
Well, that's
Can't really. Not right through here, though.
Did you have the property surveyed?
No, sir. I got all my pins here, and here, but I didn't have anything surveyed back in the back corner. I know where these pins are at through here.
And they're off of the road. They're on the road right away.
Well, Randy,
they're off about.
Is that a county road?
No.
It's a public road.
They're probably 15 feet off the road.
But it's actually coming from the east, coming up and just dead ended there for whatever reason.
Oh, the other end, the other end's Nail
that's
Road,
what I was
right?
Thinking. Yeah.
Right. Oh, so you're saying the road comes the other direction.
And then
dead ends
right here, I guess.
Yeah. Oh.
Now you may be able to acquire access there, but
yeah. See, Beacon's showing it ending here.
I'm catching up now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That offset isn't it?
The Nail Road.
I mean, that is a solution. Do your roads internally and not utilize that.
The Nail Road would be awful easy to get out there with the ATV and truck up and down it.
Well, I think there's another thing here on this car lot that we do need to address, because we had a period of time when we had car lots going in and they thought they had to have 200 or 300 car lots. I remember one at Mildred where he absolutely couldn't make it unless he had 150 car lots on it. So my recommendation, if you want a car lot there, let's give us if you want to try to get this approved, give us a car lot and give us how many cars you're going to, and put a limit on it.
Yeah. I can do that.
Another item I wanted to make sure on is you've got 2-3 entrances. It's going to be commercial. I think we've already got in there compliance with MoDOT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've met with Tracy, MoDOT lady. She came out and she said that's good unless I was to.
Why did or modify it in any manner? I spoke to him too.
That's correct. Can I get this guy to come up and help?
I don't know who's speaking.
Is that being used just for the one residence? I mean, if you widen it, then you've got to meet all their new requirements.
If I mess with it, I would have to. My one in the middle is good. She would recommend me getting rid of the one that used to service the burnt down house that right there that set. She says it's kind of. Doesn't give you enough time coming southbound to come up over the hill and somebody's sitting there waiting to turn in.
Yeah.
That's where the trespassers will be shot sign is at.
Okay, we need there's something about the road. We need a flat plan or a flat plan. Yeah.
Site plan.
Yeah. Next Monday.
Next Monday.
And you can give that to Bob, he can make all of us copies, and then at that time we'll go from there. We're to approve it with the ATV, and you want the car deal on there? So many cars?
Like a site plan for my car lot?
I would like
that. I can do that.
I can't force him to do that, but I mean...
Right. Yeah. I'm getting...
It would help my peace of mind if I knew there wasn't going to be 200 cars.
So you need
there.
To tell us how many cars you're going to put on there, and at that time we'll vote on it. Either to approve it or disapprove it or table it until we a later date where we can
get more information. We want to see everybody do with the property like they wish, but we can't let them just run wild and not do what's kind of needed.
You may not think so right now, but we're trying to help you.
I appreciate the help.
Okay, and you said you're going to take the ATVs off of it for this round?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so...
Okay.
Citizenry, rest assured, if he comes back, huh?
He can't put ATVs on there for 4 years.
He can't put ATVs on until he comes back to this board.
That's,
and he says his time frame's probably
well,
4 years.
Well, your personal, you can. I mean,
yeah,
your
personal
property.
Stuff.
You can ride him anywhere.
But if he wants to come back a year from now, well, you know, 2 years, 6 years, whatever.
Does it going to be hearing his application for phase one? Is that where it's at?
Yes.
Yep. If he wanted to change anything.
Yeah.
That's
only
going. That's what he's asking for.
And there'll be no more public hearings before that vote?
Correct, but there's not going to be any ATVs on phase
one. Just so everybody out there knows, he's dropping the ATVs. What we're trying to do is a car lot, and we want to see a flat plan and about the road, which the
residents will know when he's going to try to put ATVs back on.
Correct.
You'll be notified.
Yes.
No vote until we know it too.
There will be another hearing if that's put back on.
The two people sitting right over to your right, they do all that. And they'll notify anytime we do anything for anybody in the county. They notify and put up a sign. It's put out there on the board. It's put on the website. So anybody that thinks they don't see the sign, I don't know what to say, because the signs are put up, and it's put on the website, and it's put out here on the boards. So
they don't send out certified letters any longer?
We send out letters to any property owner within
600 feet.
Certified letters.
The same notice not like also in the newspaper.
But 600-foot circle from him, anybody will be notified.
What about the people that own the homes in Mobile Home Park? Do they not get nothing?
They should.
I'm within 160-something feet.
Well, we're not
the property owners, basically, to be notified.
Yeah. We're not here to debate.
It's the property owners that get it.
Yes.
Yeah. Property owners. We're not here to debate the signs. We're here to try to do the stuff in front of us. These people over here do a very good job of getting the signs out, putting them on the board, putting it on the website. So I don't know what to tell anybody that don't see the signs. Maybe when you see a little sign out there that's red and white, read it. Don't just glance at it. Okay, Ron, we're
done.
We'll see you next Monday at 6 o'clock. Empire Energy. Is that the right one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Might as well give her a minute. Clear.
Hey. I need it. You're going to have to quit getting me in trouble. Hey, I held up for you.
Okay, this is case number 2015-8. The project is the Empire Energy Bulk Storage Facility, Tri-Lakes Petroleum. The applicant or current property owner is Plaster Grandchildren Investments, LLC. The representative is Empire Energy and also currently Eric Hodge with Roselle Engineering Company. The property in question is located at the northwest intersection, and actually I need to correct that, of Sunrise Drive, but it's my understanding that that's actually the outer road of Highway 65. Okay. And Buchanan Road, and located right here.
Thank you.
And it's in the Branson Township, Section 8, Township 23, Range 21. The representative is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit to allow for the relocation of its existing bulk storage facility from its current location at 943 State Highway 76. And this is the current location. To the property in question at the southwest outer road of Highway U.S. Highway 65 and Buchanan Road, and here's just another shot of the existing facility that they're proposing to relocate. The subject property now, where they're wishing to relocate that, is a vacant approximately 2.5 acre meets and bounds described tract of land. Again, located at the northwest corner, and I got it as Sunrise Drive, but in fact, it's actually the outer road of U.S. 65 of Buchanan. The current application was approved for concept on March 16th of this year. The bulk storage facility will be served by two commercial driveways. The first will be located off of the southwest outer road. And it's going to be built in compliance with MoDOT requirements. The entrance in question, it's indicated on the site plan with approximately a 51-foot width. And the second driveway is proposed to be provided off of Buchanan Road. And it's proposed with a 39-foot width. Both entrances have been designed specifically to allow for truck traffic. The representative has indicated that the bulk storage facility will include a new 3,200 square foot, or essentially 40 by 80 office slash warehouse building. The representative has indicated that the building will house 8 office employees, and that it's going to be served by an on-site wastewater treatment system. We do have a letter in file from Scott Serrett, which was included in the Planning Commission's packet. Basically, it's my understanding that the applicant's engineer has indicated that it would not be feasible to connect to the existing Branson Municipal Sewer Main, located a little distance on the other side of Buchanan Road. It doesn't really show on this on the site plan. Due to the large amount of impervious surface, with the added buildings and parking lots and so on, a stormwater management plan will be required. The applicant's engineer has indicated a proposed detention basin as a part of this. The adjoining property immediately to the north is vacant, with the High Road Plaza being located further to the north, with a number of existing industrial and commercial uses. The adjoining property immediately to the east is the outer road of US 65 and then, of course, the 65 Highway. And the adjoining property and also the existing propane business. The adjoining property to the west is the Taney County Transfer Station. And the adjoining property to the south is Buchanan Road, and then primarily vacant property. Per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, buffering would not be required between this use and these other existing commercial or industrial uses. However, the engineer has proposed a 10-foot wide landscape buffer between this facility and really both adjoining roadways. The project received a score of 1 on the policy checklist out of a maximum score of 29. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supplied and solid waste disposal service. The staff recommendations on this, and there is an error here, I apologize. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the Taney County Road Standards that include plans for the following: sediment and erosion control, stormwater management, land grading permit for all non-agricultural land disturbances of over 1 acre, utility easements and building line setbacks, and improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, the On-Site Wastewater Permitting Division of the Planning Department, the Missouri Department of Transportation, and the Taney County Road and Bridge Department shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. This decision, number 3, this decision is subject to all existing easements. 4, Division 2 permits shall be required for all applicable structures in the development. 5, prior to the issuance of Division 2 certificates of conformance, the developer shall first present a certificate of occupancy from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District to the Planning Department office. And number 6, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got a couple of brief videos here. And we're actually just right off of the outer road right here. Here's the a portion of the property in question. And then we also shot just a brief video from the from Buchanan from the front of the property here. Or actually, we drove around to Buchanan. But this is essentially the property in question.
Thank you, Bob.
Uh-huh.
Anybody got any questions? Or, Eric?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
What are you going to do for potable water?
We're connecting to public water supply district number 3.
Okay. Just checking.
I have met with this gentleman here and commissioner working on site. He showed me his proposal and it's in the site plan, but we did some research, actually. Robert Dixon helped me out and done some research on that 50-foot easement there. That was dedicated to the public, so keep that in mind. I'll be able to use that. I don't know if that will help you. I know we were, when we looked at that, we got our own entrance area into the transfer station. If they do something with that property to the north, there could be an entrance plus then your driveway, which is as to be taken up for semis to come in there. So that's one reason I went back. It took me a while to find it, but we did find it. Kane County did that.
Okay. The site plan as it's currently drawn does not include accessing that, but if that's an option, you know, it's something we could take
a
look at.
I'm just letting you know that was dedicated to the public.
That's great.
I can send that to you and share it with you guys. Look at that.
Thank you.
See if that will fit in there.
So you're going to own all the property from the corner of Buchanan back to the north? I mean,
sorry, I have
it. See, it doesn't show that with a picture. Or is that all the way to the end of the property?
This property fronts Buchanan Road and the outer road. And then the strip that Randy's talking about is the 50-foot
right.
road
it's
right
down
in the west.
That goes, your property line goes.
On the That's on the west side of the property.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But on the south side of the property, that's all county owned, so we're going to build a driveway across that.
Yeah, he was looking at access right there. Which is,
And then, according to the plan, it looks like that. I think that's a good place for it. Better than on 76 East.
Okay, anybody else got any questions?
Well, it just shows on your site plan your water crossing the Taney County, you'll have easements and everything all out of that. Or?
We'll have to talk to them about that.
Anybody else?
I'm good.
Everybody good? I'd like to get a little more confirmed on that. Everybody good?
I'm good.
Okay, we'll see you next Monday.
Thank you.
Oh, wait. Whoa.
Did we not let anybody speak?
No, I'm sorry.
Let him speak.
Yep, what's there?
I apologize. There's two of you who wanted to speak.
You want me to go get them?
Maybe they were four. They were four.
Yeah, they're both on there first anyway.
Okay.
I don't know why they sign up if they're first. It confuses me.
Well, they might have been somebody against it.
They might have. Might confuse anybody. Okay, Academy. Is this the one we're on?
Acacia Club Estates.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is case number 2015-9. The project is Acacia Club Estates. The applicant is Teton Farms, LLC, Tim Barth. And the representative on this is Eddie Wolf.
Eddie, you want to come on up?
It's located in the 2100 to 2300 block of Acacia Club Road, Hollister, Missouri. And here's the property in question.
Okay.
It's in the Oliver Township, Section 13, Township 22, Range 22. The applicant is seeking the approval of a major subdivision plat for Acacia Club Estates, a 34-lot single-family residential subdivision. The property in question is currently a vacant meets and bounds described approximately 10-acre tract of land. The applicant is requesting to subdivide the approximately 10-acre meets and bounds tract into 34 single-family residential lots. The proposed 34-lot Acacia Club Estate subdivision, again, will be located on approximately 10 acres. And the applicant is seeking Planning Commission preliminary plat approval, allowing for the creation of this 34-lot major subdivision. In review on this one, on July 19th, 2012, the Taney County Commission adopted the subdivision regulations for Taney County, which removed and separated the subdivision regulations from the Development Guidance Code. Per the provisions of these subdivision regulations, an administrative minor subdivision is a division of land into tracts less than 10 acres in size, with not more than a total of 6 tracts. Therefore, a major subdivision is classified as any division of land into tracts less than 10 acres in size, which does not fall within the classification of a minor subdivision. Therefore, Acacia Club Estates is considered a major subdivision, requiring the plat approval of the Planning Commission. Per the provisions of Missouri Revised Statute and the planning and the subdivision regulations, preliminary plat approval shall be based upon the plat's compliance with the provisions of the subdivision regulations. The 34 lots within Acacia Club Estates will be served by an existing Taney County Regional Sewer District sewer main and the Missouri American Water Company. The sewer district personnel have indicated that a compliance letter from the sewer district's engineer, Great River Engineering, was provided to the sewer district. I've actually provided a copy of that letter to the Planning Commission this evening. It's my understanding, basically, that there was some work done on this. I think it's from 2008 is the first letter. I know the sewer district administrator has asked for a new set of engineering, basically, but Great River has indicated that there is adequate capacity. The required minimum lot size for single family lots would be 8,000 square feet with a 70-foot road frontage, and all of the lots within Acacia Club Estates do meet those minimum requirements. The applicant is proposing for 15 of the lots within Acacia Club Estates to front directly upon Acacia Club Road. And I'll let maybe Randy speak to this in more detail, but the Road and Bridge Administrator has examined the available site distance for these 15 driveways in question. And upon the completion of the examination, it was discovered that a driveway on proposed lot one would not have adequate site distance. Each driveway directly accessing Acacia Club Road shall be required to meet both the minimum site distance and also driveway spacing requirements as enumerated within the road standards. In order to eliminate the maintenance issues that would be associated with the placement of the 15 new driveway culverts on Acacia Club Road, the Road and Bridge Department is requesting that the applicant provide a new curb along the southeastern portion of Acacia Club Road. The staff recommends that the new curbed area and also the 15 driveway entrances be allowed to be inspected by the Road and Bridge Department during each phase of construction in order to ensure full compliance with the road standards. Per the provisions of the Taney County Road Standards, Acacia Club Estates is considered to be a high-density residential subdivision, which would require a 50-foot right-of-way, as they've got indicated on the plat, and a 31-foot wide roadway width with either an asphalt or concrete surface. Prior to final plat approval, the applicant shall either be required to install all the required public improvements or to provide an appropriate security in compliance with the provisions of the subdivision regulations. Per the provisions of the subdivision regulations, the applicant shall be required to submit an engineer's report that addresses storm drainage, water supply, wastewater disposal, and a traffic analysis slash street capacity prior to the submission and approval of the final plat. The representative is proposing a green space area, which is indicated here, and also goes up into this area. Per the provisions of the subdivision regulations, if the common space is not dedicated to or accepted for public use by the county commission, it's to be protected by legal arrangements such as restrictive covenants that would be recorded in the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office in the form acceptable to the Planning Commission and to the county councilor or attorney. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves the preliminary plat for Acacia Club Estates, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Subdivision Regulations, the Taney County Development Guidance Code, and the Taney County Road Standards. Second, the applicant shall submit a report signed and sealed by a registered engineer in compliance with Article 6, Section 4 of the Subdivision Regulations prior to receiving final plat approval. The engineer's report shall include the following items: A, stormwater drainage; B, water supply; C, wastewater disposal; D, traffic analysis slash street capacity. 3, the final plat shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 2 years of the date of the approval of the preliminary plat. The final plat may be submitted in phases, with each phase covering a portion of the approved preliminary plat. If the final plat is submitted in successive phases, the developer will have 1 year after each phase to record the final plat of the next phase. The Planning Commission may grant an extension of time for final plat submission if it finds that the conditions on which the preliminary plat was approved have not changed substantially. Number 4, all of the required improvements, as enumerated within Article 8 of the Subdivision Regulations, shall either be installed or an appropriate security shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Number 5, compliance letters from the Missouri DNR, the Taney County Regional Sewer District, and the Taney County Road and Bridge Department shall be provided to the Planning Department office. 6, all roads within Acacia Club Estates shall be constructed in compliance with Taney County Road Standards. The applicant shall allow for full inspections of each roadway during every phase of construction. 7, a new curb shall be installed by the applicant along the southeastern portion of Acacia Club Road. This construction of the new curbed area and also the 15 driveway entrances shall be inspected by the Road and Bridge Department during construction in order to ensure full compliance with the road standards. Number 8, all driveway access points proposed to be located on existing county roads shall be issued a driveway access permit via the Taney County Road and Bridge Department prior to the creation of said driveway entrance points. Each driveway directly accessing county-maintained roadways shall be required to meet both the minimum site distance and also driveway spacing requirements of the Taney County Road Standards. 9, Division 1 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. 10, prior to the issuance of Division 1 permits, the applicants shall ensure that the applicable sewer and water connections are in place. 11, this decision of record is subject to all existing easements. All existing easements shall be indicated on the final plat, including any existing sewer, water, and drainage easements. Number 12, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. Oops, I got it twice. And we've got a couple of brief videos again. This first one, I think we've done a fairly quick 360 here of the property in question and then some of the adjoining properties. at Acacia Club in Wisconsin. And this is the property in question. And we've also just done a quick drive-by of the property in question as well. Back to the area where we shot the first video.
Okay, anybody got any questions, Fred?
Does anybody have a traffic count for Acacia Club Road, approximately per day, how many cars?
I don't have a current one. But we do have a traffic count. I could tell you how many.
The green space, have you decided who's going to maintain that? How are you going to maintain that or write that?
It'll be done by the Homeowners Association. It'll be set up in the restrictive covenants. It'll be their obligation to maintain that. And most of the time, the goes like the detention basin, if it goes, I was trying to get this to work. Do what?
Use the right button.
You have to push. I'm not getting anything. I got both of them pushed.
You got it turned the wrong way.
That way? Okay.
There you go. Use a.
I was probably shooting somebody over this direction. Are you blind over there?
Blind.
Okay. You know, the detention basin, there'll be one place down in here. And so that's going to have to be maintained there. And most of the time, the Homeowners Association just has a maintenance person hired to take care of that. It would be their obligation.
And you're going to have it written up in the covenants?
It'll be stated on the plat that way. It'll also be stated in the restricted covenants.
Okay.
Okay. One thing I'd like to address on here is Randy went out and looked at the site that's up and down the road. And if you'll go back to the assessor's page there, there we go. You know, I don't know what Randy used because I know this property corner down here wasn't set. And what I've done, I've went out there and set that property corner. Instead of it being right there, it's actually up here. And so there's a pretty good distance there. And I'd be happy to show that to Randy. And what we did, we set the end of the property. We set that open space 70 foot, and we set the first two lot corners going back. So that way he could see where it's at.
Yeah, basically what I was going off of was this same plat, but we were basing it off the existing homes, kind of figuring out where lot one, middle of lot one, middle of lot two, going by the other side of the road, kind of a division between that lot. So if you set them.
You know, I'd be happy to meet you out there and show them to you or whatever. Because, you know, I didn't know what you did or whatever, but it could make a big difference on distance.
Well, I'll remeasure out lot run, but what we're going by right now, I couldn't get the proper site
distance. And see, you could, and if we need to, we could actually bring a driveway, if it worked out down here, right on this point, bring a driveway in and do a side entry garage in it if we need to.
That
would get you down to the curb.
I'm not sure that would.
Yeah. But if this second lot would pass in their left-hand garages.
Wait a minute. I see people back there talking and shaking your heads. As soon as the head gets done talking, then we'll let some of you in talk. So No need to get too excited and sit back there and think the worst.
Okay. Can you go back to our plat, Bob?
Uh-huh.
If with this lot being okay, if there was a left-hand garage put on this house where you'd enter up here and this one was left-hand here, you know, that'll make a big difference on where the driveway would go in also.
Yeah, but with the lot frontage, you pretty much are going to be committed all the way down with all your driveway.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's the point where they need to be left-hand garages, that's what we do. You know, that's what it is, what it is. We can't make it any different.
Having your lot corners marked that way will make that a whole lot easier. That and I got a definite point I can make.
Right. Yeah, we just set the property corner, and then north of it, about 70 foot's the first lot corner, and then 100 foot north of it's the other one. And you'll be able to see them real easy. If you got any questions, just give me a call. Run over and meet with you. That way we know for sure, you know, what's going on. Because you did the best you could do until you got something definite to go off of.
These are single-family residents. Are they, what square footage are they looking at?
They'll run around 1,200 square foot. They're probably, I'd say, around the 150s up to 200 in that range. That's about a low-income house anymore.
Anymore, yeah.
They'll all be stick-built,
positive
roofs.
No, I think it's
what they'll be.
This driveway thing and the green space.
I got one more.
You see
I go back over here in the shaded area on the back side of the property. It's pretty much cedars
here
in there, but you're planning possibly a retention pond. What is your plan? Because the distance of the whole road frontage on Acacia Club, we're looking at about a neighborhood of 1,300 feet. So we got water running from this point up here all the way down. It comes into one pipe. Do you have any ideas what they're planning right now?
Not until the engineering's done. I know that the engineer will make every effort to deter as much of this water as we can back down here. But until they do their grading plan and set the street, you know, elevations and everything like that, it's really hard to tell you, Randy, you know, how much if we can collect five acres of site, an acre, or 9 acres. You just don't know. That's stuff there that you just have to go through with the engineering documents.
Anybody else can
I? Well, I was reading this letter that Great River gave you, and they didn't actually say there was capacity. Is that right? The second paragraph?
I mean, I read it.
Well, one letter.
Yeah, it says they added some project, and it may put it at capacity. So the study wasn't done. It was done in 2008. So really, I think it's updated.
There could be less usage or more.
This would appear to put the system at capacity possibly just over.
Right, that's how I read it.
That's how I read it. But then they're not really saying there is or there isn't.
Right.
So you know it's about as much as you did before you got the letter.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
And according to some of the homeowners out there that appear to be having some problems with their sewer system backing up. So, and it's a low pressure system, so.
Yeah, that could be a number of things.
Yes.
This is all going to be gravity in, right?
It's a low pressure line they would hook into.
Yeah, it's all low pressure.
So you're going to have grinder pumps at each of these houses?
You don't have a choice. The county chose to put pressure lines in. So
yeah, there's no way you could go all the way to that station.
They're, you know, you're kind of hung up. When they go in and build a line cheap, and that's what you do when you do low pressure. You're forced then to do your stuff accordingly. The only other choice.
The first lines that was put in the county.
Yeah.
Low pressure system.
Yeah. The only other choice you got is to take everything in one central point and put a lift station in and shove it in.
Yeah.
And then you start running into pressure issues. It's really a complicated mess.
Yeah.
And Doug, I think, would agree with me on that. Because you get a grinder pump that puts out this PSI, and you get a lift station that puts out this PSI, and they don't work sometimes. So you have to get everything where it works. Because if your line's under pressure, you got to shove it in there, you know. And these aren't real big diameter lines. I don't know how big it is, but most of the time, low pressure lines are real small diameter, so they can hold the pressure size.
6 inch.
See,
that
was put in 1993.
Yeah.
There wasn't nearly that many houses out there.
6 inch.
I can't remember.
Well, we've had two houses added on up
I know that one development up the road up there, it's got, I don't know how many houses in it that Carl Groves did.
Mm-hmm.
Those starter homes there beside the road.
Yeah.
Those were added on.
Yeah. I can't remember the size of that line, though. It's probably 6 inch.
But I know on up, some of that stuff goes the other way, too.
Yeah.
In there. So.
I wonder if there's any way to make that gravity all the way down to the lift station. Is it that far down there, though?
If you had a big enough wallet, it's not an easy situation.
Yeah. Well, Great River, the way I understand it, it's going to do another study anyway to verify the findings, right?
And it was my understanding from talking to Brad, from talking to the sewer district administrator, that he really hadn't seen any current engineering at this point.
Right. Well, there hadn't been any development in the area to get anything current anyhow for so many years that everything's just set there.
Yeah.
Anybody else got any questions for Ed right now? We'll set him down and bring him back.
Okay.
Thank you. Brian Stafford.
Brian Stafford. First of all, thank you for allowing us to come and share some of the concerns that we have. Is there any way that you could go back to one of the videos that you shared? It was the one with the blind hill.
Okay. Is it the second?
Right there.
Okay.
So right there on both sides of the road, there's actually a blind hill there. And what I kind of wish you would see on this video, which I have a video that I shot as well, but there's cars that are coming south down Acacia Club, there's no way that you can actually see the cars that are coming over that. So that is definitely one of our concerns, is that blind curve hill on both sides. There's limited sight distance there as well. And then with the fact with 15 different driveways onto Acacia Club Road, it seems very dangerous in this area. And I actually contacted the superintendent of the school system, Dr. Brian Wilson. And he gave me some talking points, and I'll leave these with you all as well, and you can actually contact him as well about this. But he says that one thing we have to consider there is the safety of the children, especially for buses there. It's already a very busy road. We have residents in that area that already speed that road. And there's also areas in that area where there's no sight times, no braking times either. So that was one of the concerns of Dr. Brian Wilson, was the stopping times and sight distance times. You can't have bus stops at each separate 15 driveways. So that's another issue that we'd have there with the public school system. Traffic already has flow issues and speeding issues. They already exist on Acacia. And the Taney County Sheriff Department needs to be involved to determine proper braking distances, proper sight lines, and appropriate stopping distances for buses on the hills and the blind curves for 15 separate driveways off of Acacia. Another concern of his was kids being injured with more stops and more traffic on Acacia. Already very busy, dangerous road for kids, for buses, and for additional bus stops as well. So that was just some thoughts that Dr. Brian Wilson had. And I'll leave that with you all so you can look at that. His phone number is on there, and also his direct email is on there as well. I run this road a lot, and we have a lot of individuals that ride bicycles on this road. And one thing you cannot see from that video is it's a very narrow road. And if we're going to have that many driveways coming out and the blind spots there, I don't know where they would actually put a curb there. Because there's no distance at all. And I do have a video that I'd love to share if we could hook it up so that you could see that.
We can sure.
You could try?
Give it a try here. Yeah.
How many bicycles would you say travels that road today?
I would say probably 5 or 6 bikes on that road a day.
Any time during the day?
Morning, not in the morning.
No, let's see. Yeah, let's see.
Could we all gather around and look at it?
There are a lot of them morning. I've never seen a bug.
I've seen a couple. Maybe. Yeah, we were doing that job down there. Where was that?
Could you all gather around and we could actually look at it off my phone? Is that something we could?
I'm very familiar with the case.
station.
Yeah, we know. Drive it all the time.
We know the road real well. That's the reason I was asking you about the bicycle.
What it kind of looks like as you're coming around the corner, as you're heading north on Acacia, there's a curve. And as you're heading south on Acacia, you're actually going into a blind spot. And so I'm going to turn around and I'm going to head south on Acacia and show you what I'm talking about with the blind spot at the curve. As you see here, there is definitely a curve. And as you're, if you're heading south on Acacia and at Diamond Hill Court, you will actually have a curve. And if they're possibly going to be putting in 15 separate driveways, and there's going to be traffic coming out on the road to pull out or to back up out of the driveway on Acacia, it's just going to be dangerous for pedestrians. There's runners that run this all the time. As you can see, the roads are very, very narrow. There's going to be kids that are going to be waiting for bus stops, for additional bus stops. So we have to factor in stop times, break times, sight times. And that could possibly cause more injuries to children.
We, about all of us here work around this area, and I drive that road a lot myself.
Okay.
That's the reason I asked you about the bicycle. I've never seen a bike on the
road.
You
have not?
I may have run over them, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, all right. So definitely that's the issues that we have is the safety issues. We also have the water and sewage backup issues. One thing we didn't hear was a water permit. Has anything been established for a water permit with the American Water?
Have we got anything on that, Bob?
I mean, I don't have anything at
this point,
but
they would have.
Okay, all right. So that's another concern we have is some neighbors, they already report water pressure issues toward the top already. There's 34 more houses that would strain the supply even more. Retention, some neighbors report issues with water runoff on their property. These houses will complicate that even further. The traffic flow increase, which we already discussed. And then lastly is just the lots are not consistent with existing homes, which could affect the home values of our area too. I mean, my wife and I and our kids, we moved there in October timeframe from O'Fallon, Missouri. And we moved out there because we love the fact that we're out there in the middle of nowhere. We love the fact that we had a property that's off of the lake there that is above the lake, and in our value of our home, we would definitely be worried that that value would go down. And the last thing to consider too is how can a 1,200 square foot home be in a price range of $150,000 to $200,000? I mean, that's something else that is very concerning to us, because I know with our square footage, our home is about 2,400, and then with the basement, and our house was a lot higher than a $150,000 to $200,000 range as well. All right, and then the last questions that we have is, are there engineer plans with association that we could review as well, which sounds like there's still some things that are needed with that. And then 15 driveways on Acacia Club Road, is there a better, safer alternative to that as well? And the last concern we had was, does the current sewer have the capacity to take on 34 more homes? I mean, we already have smells. We have sewage smells. It's up and down that road. There's already backup that we have issues with as well, and we're very concerned that that will actually add to the capacity of 34 more homes. And I really appreciate you guys allowing me to come here and to share my concerns and our issues, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Mike and Nancy Van Trump. I hope you're Mike.
I'm Mike. My wife's name. She'll probably just say something that I don't say or whatever. So I'm Mike Van Trump.
Well, I wanted to tell you, most of the time when you bring husband and wife up here, they both want up.
I'll try to be the spokesman.
He wears the pants, but I zip
them. I'm basically going to say what Brian just said.
Either one of you is fine to speak, but okay. Please, just one of you.
I'm just going to echo what Brian said, but I am lot number, I think it's 11 there, so I am the one that will be right across from their proposed lot 1 and 2, and I can speak, we've been there almost 3 years. We've actually put in a backup lane since we've moved there because of that blind curve that they're talking about. I go to work at 6:30 a.m. I work in Harrison, Arkansas at the hospital. If it wasn't for headlights backing out or going out on that road in the morning, I would be hit. Those cars do not do 35 miles an hour, and we've asked for the deputy sheriff to come out and run radar periodically. All we get is an answer is they're not properly staffed in order to do that. But it is dangerous enough. Right now there is only 6 driveways from Diamond Hill to Wisconsin. There's 6 current driveways there. We want to add 15 more, so there's going to be 21 driveways in a 3-block area. That's just not feasible. I mean, I've built several. I'm not against building. I built 4 houses when we lived up in Iowa, and we always had to make sure X amount of spacing, the blind spots, the guidelines, but that's just not feasible, putting 15 driveways in a 3-block period. And then I guess my other concerns is the water. We're one of those that has water pressure. You open up my kitchen sink faucet, and it just basically falls out. It did not run out. Sewer, I don't really have a concern with sewer right now, but I would be, I guess, if you're going to shove 34 additional lots into that little 10-acre spot.
What water takes care of that?
American Water is who we have. Missouri American Water.
Where's the tower? I forgot. The closest?
I don't even know where the closest tower would be, but we're at the top. I've talked to several people that live down, like, in the Foggy River area and down farther. They're all getting the gravity flow, so they're getting plenty of pressure down there. But if you live up here towards the top there by Diamond and the top of Acacia where I'm at, you just barely have. I mean, we had great pressure here about a year ago, and I called them and thanked them. They said, well, it's just temporary. Don't get used to it. And within 2 or 3 days, we were back to where we were before. There's times where we don't even have enough pressure to run the aerator on our kitchen faucet. And so that's without adding 34 additional homes. My other concern is the water retention. If you're going to have all those homes, from the way it looks, the way that is, it's higher than all these homes on the west side. All that water is going to run down their driveways into my lot, into my neighbor's lots. I don't see how you're going to stop that. And then my other concern is now we're talking about a water retention pond. What's that going to do for odor, insects, mosquitoes? There's several concerns by just throwing this out here and putting it out. It looks like it's a good drawing for 34 new homes. But and like Brian echoed, I'm concerned about why we cannot make this development more concise to what we have now. Most of our lots in that area are all 3/4 to acre and a half lots, and we're going to put in 0.25 acre lots with all those homes there. So I'm just concerned with that also. But that's really all I have to bring up to the board at this time. I would like to see further engineering plans, if there are any, I'd also like to see, how are we going to enforce future covenants? How are we going to be guaranteed it's going to be a 1,200 square foot home put on that lot, and not a 950 square foot home? Overall upkeep and maintenance and the beautification of that neighborhood area, because that is a nice area. That's why we moved there 3 years ago. It's like Brian said, it's quiet, it's out of the way, big lots, lots of space, and I just hate to see that ruined with that small of a neighborhood shoved in there. So, thank you.
Thank you. And I hope Eddie's listening, because he'll be trying to answer some of your questions here in a minute. Frank?
Yes. And my wife's only here to correct what I forget.
She can't be saying anything. That's fine.
My name is Frank Geary. Just for your note, sir, my house is right there. So I'm directly across the street from it, and if you've been on Acacia and haven't seen bicycles, you haven't been on Acacia very much, because there is several that go down the hill. Guys use that road, Acacia, because it has the hills to practice for their racing and stuff, and they do that a lot. Every weekend they're going around through there, but that's all right. We'll let that go.
For the last 35 years, I've probably helped build better house down there. So
yeah, I've lived there for nine years at this point, and I'm retired now, so I had a little bit of time, sir. And to answer the your gentleman to your left there, and sir, I don't know your name, I'm sorry, but you talked about traffic a little bit on there. So my wife and I, being retired, I don't get up very early, but I do watch the traffic there. So I started doing traffic counts when we first learned about this, and this isn't anything technical. I don't have a counter. I don't have anything like that. What I do is sit in my garage on my chair, drink my coffee, and count the cars as they go by. And I've done that on to research two different or three different times of the day, 7 to 9. I've done that twice, somewhere around 10:30 to 1, and between 4 and 6 in the afternoon. And the reason I did the morning and afternoon exactly when I did is because that's when the school buses are going by. And there's two of them that go by at night, one or two that go by in the morning. So they're going by there all the time. We counted basically 12 hours worth of watching traffic and counting them one at a time as they went by. And there is an average of one car every minute, no matter what time you look at during those days, that goes by there. And as has already been brought up, they don't travel 35 miles an hour. They see it twice, once going through it coming up and once going through it coming back down. So if we add a bunch of roads or a bunch of driveways backing out onto that road, we are going to have a real problem because that is a very, very blind hill. One thing that was mentioned already was that there's six driveways that actually back out. I'm one of the six. You heard from the other people that are. They build a turnaround to get out. I have a turnaround. One of the others down the hill a little ways has a turnaround. Before you see the people that live on Acacia actually backing out on Acacia, they've got at least a block and a half of clearance. The people that come up Townsend, which you see right there, and I know several of them that live down in this area down in here, one older gentleman that lives right here especially, when he pulls up here, he has complained several times to me, and I told him to call the sheriff is all we can do. He can't get out of there fast enough for cars coming up over the hill. They've almost hit him twice. I've offered him a chance to use my driveway because my driveway right now comes in here and then turns and comes out here onto Townsend so that I can get out. And I've offered him to come up and use my driveway to go over to get more clearance off of this hill right here. But that is a very, very blind hill. My question is, specifically, sir, you said a study was done in 2008, and I believe that's when the last gentleman purchased that area and cleared all of it to start building in that area.
The study for the sewer system.
Yeah, he was turned down at the time because there was not sewer and water capability. He was told if he wanted to build a house in there. Now, this is from the gentleman. I don't have anything particular to hand to you. But the gentleman told me that they told him he could build all the houses he wanted to if he put in a septic tank and a well for each one and did it on his own cost. Because there was not capability for him to put, and he was only putting 10 houses down there. So something was really wrong with that being put in there. Backing out onto the road is going to be a real problem. Is there any way that this could be turned around to where instead of having everybody back out on the road, why not either extend these roads in if that has to be done, or bring a cul-de-sac up from this way and back the houses up to Acacia Club, because every one of those 15 driveways are higher than what Acacia Club is at this time. And that's a very deep ditch that runs pretty heavy with water when we have the good rains and stuff, if we ever get them coming back to us again. So my concern there would be, what are those driveways going to do? Are they going to be all pavement? Are they going to be all asphalt? Are they going to be all concrete? Otherwise, they're going to have rock backing out there, and that's going to create more of a skid problem when you talk about the vehicles coming over the hill and the school buses and stuff like that. I also have a major concern. When they redid Iowa Colony and Acacia Club a few years back, right in this area right here, there's a huge pile at the county or somebody, whoever is doing the road work down in here, they piled that all full of asphalt. Chips and stuff that they dug up on the edges of the road. There's a pile there higher than my head and probably a good 100 feet long of old asphalt waste. So I would like to know what would be done with that if they go ahead and try to make a green area or try to develop that into housing. Current roads. My big concern is we're adding a lot of housing in there and a lot more traffic to a road that's already extremely busy. And the current roads down through there, if you've ever gone down to the end of Acacia and headed to the east on up the hill towards the college there, you better be prepared to turn away from all of the chuck holes and the potholes and stuff that's developed in there over the winter, and it does it every winter going up that hill. Those roads are not good. And if we had a lot of people in there, where are they going to walk? It's already brought up that it's hard to jog on those roads with adults. There isn't any place to walk on Acacia Club Road, period. My wife and I like to exercise and walk in the mornings. We drive over to the state park. That's the only place it's safe to walk. And I'm an adult, and I know to walk facing traffic. Kids, when they walk on that road, and there are several kids in our area now, they don't look when they're out there. They don't walk facing traffic. And yes, that's a problem that they should be trained to do so. But there isn't any place to walk on Acacia Club Road. There isn't any place for additional people to be on there. It just isn't available. So my concern is we're adding a whole bunch of traffic to an already heavy traffic area, which I think the traffic counter should be put out, and you really should do a study of what the traffic is on Acacia, because that's a real heavy traveled road. There's a lot of houses that were added up on Redbud, which is up on Iowa Colony, and those people come down through there every day. So we're real concerned over traffic and safety of people in that area, and I know you are too. Thank you for your time. Well, I appreciate it.
You don't think a lot of them people at Redbud goes up to Iowa Colony and up to 165?
That's what I thought too, sir. But my banker lives up there in the Redbud area, and she comes down by every morning, works at Arvest Bank, and she said that a lot of the people that live next to her come down there also. So I don't know. I think I would go over Iowa Colony and go down 165 myself, but they don't seem to do that, or a lot of them don't seem to do. I won't say they all don't. I'm sure a lot of them do.
Okay. Thank you. John and Jill.
Johnson.
Henderson. I'm sorry.
I'm also representing my mother, Rose Vinton, too, who can't get up and walk up here. So some of her concerns.
We're residents of 111 Townsend Court. We're right on the corner of Townsend and Acacia Club.
So
we're two, like Mr. Gary, we're right across from the proposed driveways that may go in there. Concern of mine is the water runoff. We are continuing downhill from, if you have the driveways up here, we're down here, and that excess water is going to make its way. When we get heavy rains, we have a ditch that goes along our property that runs very heavy as it is without any extra collection from those increased driveways up in that area. A concern also is the catch basin in that corner down there. Right at that corner, right below that, is a creek that has trout in it and natural wildlife that runs that area. You know, runoff water there off of driveways and roadways, there's not going to be good for that natural habitat.
Well, again, when you're looking at 15 driveways, your average person has at least two cars. So that's, you're looking at probably 30 cars backing in and out of those driveways. And again, it is not safe. I walk on Acacia Club. I've bicycled on Acacia Club. My families have ridden a moped up there. And again, when you get up to the steep hill when you're near C of O, it is so dangerous there. You watch people having to walk through weeds waist high, and then you're going to add that many people in that size of an area, you know, more residents there. And again, I just echo the concerns of the fact that those lots are less than a quarter of the size of the smallest existing lots, basically, that are in our neighborhood. And one big concern, again, when property values have been mentioned, you know, everyone has lost value in their home in these recent years. They're just starting to recoup that again. And something like that gets put in, and that's going to slash away at everyone's property values because it's not apples for apples. It's a type of development that should occur closer to shopping, gas stations, that type of thing. I cannot see 1,200 square foot homes being put in those lots. And the fact that that's not even stated as a fact, that it's stated as probably, is concerning. Those are probably going to be a lot of people that if there's even going to be too many cars there, or there's going to be people that are going to need to walk and ride bikes. that are going to be buying those lots. From what I know of the property values in that area, there's no way that those homes would go for $150,000 to $200,000. Their values would be way less than that, which would reduce the values of everyone else in the neighborhood. Another concern I have is what kind of pet restrictions are going to be there. You're going to have 34 homes. Are there going to be 34 dogs in that, you know, small area, you know, and the barking, and it's going to sound like a giant kennel across the street. You know, all of us moved into this neighborhood because it was quiet and well-maintained, and the houses were similar. The values were similar, you know, aside from, you know, the ones down on the water. But there again, our neighborhoods faced so much turmoil with all the flooding and everything else. You know, that has cut away at so many people's property values. And to risk doing that again just seems outrageous to me. I mean, again, we just are concerned about the water and sewer issues. The sewer smells at the bottom of Acacia Club now in the middle of summer. You're going to add 34 more strains on that?
Yeah, right at the bottom of that of the hill where it starts to cut back north towards Mr. Gilberti's, that pump station there, quite majority of the time the wind is right, that stinks bad. I feel sorry for the people that live right on that mm-hmm. corner. Are these going to be single-story homes, or are they going to be two-story homes? You know, are they going to be looking like they're stacked up like Lego blocks in there?
I honestly thought that's what we would be seeing tonight is more detailed plans of what's actually going to go in there, honestly. All of this involved, I mean, of course you're going to have increased noise levels because of that many people crowded into an area. I mean, it's going to feel more like apartment complexes, which anytime you have that, there's more issues relationally. You know, there's more stressors when you have people in tight spaces. That's just statistically a fact. So those three things, the water and sewer issues, the property values, and the safety concerns. And one thing I thought of, like, just garbage trucks going down there, trying to pick up that many people, how slowed down that would be, and garbage cans everywhere. As it is, you have issues with garbage cans getting knocked over. What is that going to be like? And snow removal, for that matter, over there. When the weather, we can't even get out of Townsend Court. It takes forever. We have to call in, you know, that we can't even come into work because Townsend Court takes that long to get cleared off, you know, and with the snow removal issues and that type of thing. But honestly, with those three issues, the one word that comes to mind with this development to me is just chaos for everyone involved.
How many kids you think's right in that area?
Well, currently,
we've got two. Our neighbors directly behind us have three, four of the pet rods.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's don't go house to house. How many you think's in there?
Yeah, I would say with the fact that there's school buses that pick up the kids. Probably the first stop, there's one, that's my son, but the next stop, there's about 15 kids that are right there, and that's right there.
And I mean, that's all in that three block area.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just feel like it's an awful lot to try to cram into that small space.
Yeah, we never dreamed that anything like this would even be proposed to go into that space. So thank you very much for hearing our concerns.
You. Kirk Cover.
Kirk Cover.
Cover, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. I live, main thing is water retention. I don't know how you turn this all blind somebody. That's easier.
I live back up in this area. Right down in here. We got a big ravine under sewer there. And before, when that quarry used to be there, all that water landed in the quarry and kind of go off down into the creek. But since they leveled all that, but didn't level, all that land goes from this backside to Wisconsin and the corner of Acacia Club Road. And then it shoots down in between there. And since that's happened, I'm starting to lose dirt embankment on one, you know, from all the waters going through there. Because, you know, years ago when the quarry there was, if we had a good rain, it'd fill up maybe about a foot. But now that's all slopes right to that one corner down there, just it'll be 2-3 feet going through there. So, and plus the water pressure. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Janice Johnson.
I'm John, and I'm with her.
Hi, I'm Janice Johnson.
And we live right here. Third house down.
Okay. You're going to be the map man, and she's going to do the talking.
Huh? Yeah, right.
I was surprised to hear that the 15 driveways were going to go on Acacia Club. I didn't hear anything about a sidewalk going through there. There's no shoulder whatsoever on Acacia Club. If you have children that are going to have to walk to a bus stop, they're in the street. There is no place unless he's putting a sidewalk in.
Those children, when the bus goes down through there, do they do like they do on Gretna or 248 there? Do they have a bunch in one spot get on instead of stopping 15 times?
But when I've sent children out,
coming up Acacia, they stop at the end of each cul-de-sac. They do not go down in, okay. So they stop at each road coming up through.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm concerned about the children's safety, number one, because it sounds like a neighborhood where there's going to be more children than there are going to be retired folk living. I also want to know if you approve this tonight. We didn't see any engineering reports. We didn't see any hydrologist reports. Will we have an opportunity to the neighbors to come again when those reports come in so we can actually see a hydrologist survey on where all of that water runoff is going to go? Right now it has vegetation on the rocks. After you get roads, roofs, that water runoff is going to be multiplied many, many, many times. I'm on the other side of the ravine that this gentleman talked about. We get the water that comes off. I saw on one of yours about drainage easements. I don't know whether what we have through there is a drainage easement or not, or whether it's on personal property. So I guess that's a question I have to ask. Can someone put in a development and dump all their water through somebody else's property? The runoff. Can they? Is that allowable?
You want to answer that question, Randy?
Well, our fence is about to fall into that ditch.
This is a county man right here. He can answer that
actually
question.
Actually, guidelines and stuff that they'll be required to follow. One of the studies is stormwater runoff plan hydrology, and that's what Eddie's here. They'll do that, and basically the idea is they'll probably have to put in retention basins, that type of thing. The whole point is we've got one drainage across culvert process constant water in there than what it will naturally handle now. So that's the reason for retention basins, is so your property doesn't see any more runoff than it does today.
Thank you. That was my concern. If we were going to have the impact of all of the runoff from that 10 acres.
You currently have runoff from the 10 acres.
Yes, sir.
It's not the entire 10 acres. And we've got an adequate size pipe to handle most normal runoff. Now, most of our ditch lines of culverts will not handle a real heavy downspout of rain, you know, at 2 inches in an hour. Probably it won't handle. You'll see overflowing of ditches and things like that. I mean, that's part of the nature of this country. But
you show me where your house is again.
It will handle it. Now, when they develop something like this, they will put plans in place.
Now, the house right below you?
From driveways, roofs, and all that. That's where the study comes in.
Are there a house below you?
Yeah, there's houses all the way in the corner.
What size retention, what's the best placement for it, and then what adequate release they can do on that so that our existing systems can handle it.
Okay, and that was my question. When that study has been done and presented to the county, will we as the homeowners in that neighborhood, who will also be impacted, have an opportunity to review it and say, yes, this is acceptable, or?
No.
Okay.
So it'll be designed by an engineer.
We'll
guarantee that.
So if other property will be impacted negatively, then the developer will need to put something in the works to stabilize the property that's already there.
Have you seen detention ponds?
They're
berm with a little opening, mm-hmm. and that slows the water runs into that basin, and it slowly releases it, supposedly the same rate that it was prior to the development.
It catches what material comes down
right.
and lets it settle.
Right, I understand
it, so
that. My question
down.
Is, after it leaves that, where is it going to go?
Shouldn't be any more than it is now.
Yeah.
The engineer's supposed to.
That's the intent.
Okay.
Supposedly, it's
okay.
not supposed to be anymore.
All yeah. right.
But like Randy said, you get a flood, and then that pans it all out.
Mm-hmm. I just asked your husband where you lived there again, and he said that showed me there's a house right below you. So that house, level-wise, it's below you, right?
Yes, sir.
It's all downhill. It's all
yes.
downhill.
Okay. So what water's on your neighbor's house, when it rains, it comes across you.
Mm-hmm.
What water comes across you goes to your mm-hmm. next neighbor, mm-hmm. you know. So
mm-hmm.
you can just control it so much is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. The other thing I just wanted to comment on, besides the children's safety, the gentleman spoke to 1,200 square foot houses selling for $150,000 to $200,000. That is $120 to $130 per square foot. I don't think that's realistic. I'm not a realtor, but I can't imagine that anybody's going to pay $130 a square foot for a 1,200 square foot home. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Eddie, would you like to come back up and shed some light on a question or two?
Just so everybody here knows, I'm talking about the road and all the entrances there. The first thing, and I mean the first thing we did, is we contacted Randy Hayes. And we said, is there any problem if we front all these lots out on Cage Club Road? And he said no. That's why it's designed that way. And I discussed this with Bob, discussed it with Randy.
Who's Randy Hayes?
The county engineer.
No.
He's not.
Me.
Go ahead.
Two gentlemen contacted me and asked me about putting a driveway onto the Casey Club Road. And yes, that is possible as long as it meets a requirement and a road standard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd have to go by. At the time he asked me, I did not know there was 15. You asked me if there's a problem putting driveways onto Acacia Clark Road, and no, as long as they meet requirements. And yes, they are following the guidelines within our requirements as far as lot size, driveways, but there's some things that's going to have to go along with this, which is also in the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason the curbs put in there. That's the reason the study is going to have to be done. That's the reason the stormwater plan's got to be done. So properties below this aren't impacted any more than they are today.
So and I think we all know.
There is going to be some other issues that I do have a couple of questions on is they are right, that many driveways, that additional traffic pulling in, back and out. Is
mm-hmm.
there going to be parking? Most residents, you can see two homes or two cars in about every driveway, sometimes three. Another question I got is, we're not going to allow parking on the street.
No, there's not supposed to be.
There's not enough room, and it's not adequate, not safe to do that. So that's, and we've got to do that in other areas to put up no parking, just so people mm-hmm. are aware of that because of the various streets.
Well, the
there really isn't even a shoulder on.
Eddie, while we're talking about it, and
well,
you said that's the way you planned it and the way you designed it,
mm-hmm.
would it be acceptable to change that and have those houses go there?
Developer told me no. Point blank. I ask him.
Well, there isn't even shelters on
it. What about
well,
sidewalks? But that's not going to cure the backing out.
You know, the situation we got here.
Here, let's back up, Eddie. Randy, let Randy finish his
okay.
here.
One of the other things within this, when you develop, is they will have to give additional right-of-way. Yes, the current road does not have shoulders mm-hmm. on it, but that in part of the curbing and everything will be additional room to widen that 2 foot curb, which will hence make the road a little bit safer.
And that's already
that's all going to be part of this
Yeah.
Plan, and that's the reason for additional rights.
And it's already reflected that way on the plat.
Same as the development deed on the other side. Okay. Now,
Randy, you answered that question with in line of his question, sidewalk.
But there's not sidewalks.
There's not sidewalks on the other side, below this development, above it. I mean,
all he's doing is making a curve, right? I mean, you're right. Giving more easement for a curve.
The easements for improvements to the road for the lots. Every development has to do that per the guidelines.
Right. Mm-hmm.
One quick question, please. Will there be drainage put under the curb? Because that's going to throw more water onto our lots on the other side. Even with drainage, it's going to put more water on our lots on the other side.
It'll have drainage.
That'll have to be done per the hydrology study and the engineering plans of that. I mean, they'll have to find out what size pipe, inlets, and then what are you going to do with it once it gets down here? That's part of that engineer plan.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it will have to have drainage and
stormwater. Right.
Okay.
But like I was talking there, I think that we all know what's going to happen because we know the code. And it's just making the public aware of what the code says. And we're not trying to do anything that the code does not allow. And one gentleman asked about the detention pond, mosquitoes, that sort of thing. And Doug touched on it there. The detention pond, all it does is collect water. It actually discharges the water out of it. It's a dry basin, but it lets the water out of it at a rate that it would happen as if it was out there today. When you put houses on this at this density, it will cover about 25% of the property as impervious cover. So you're going to increase the water runoff on this property about 1/4. It's what you'll do. And, you know, the people, you know, down through here, we got basically four major intersections along this property. If you count the driveways with the four intersections, there's probably 11 entrances on the other side. You know, time you go all the way down through there and count them up. The detention pond would be there. Like Randy said, we'd be actually giving more right away on our side all the way through there so there could be some improvements. And as far as bicycles and joggers, you know, I'm not trying to be mean or ill or anything, but these roads are for public traffic, not bicyclers or joggers. I mean, they were built that way. And like the one person said, they go out to the state park. There's a bicycle area out there. There's jogging areas. That's what that's for. There is traffic on this road, but you go down there in the middle of the day, I drive a lot too. You may not even meet a car coming up through here all the way back out. And there's times you go down through there and you meet 10 cars. So it just varies. But it's not a real high traffic area down in there. I mean, everybody's got their own.
Hey, whoa. Eddie's trying to talk. Now, he gave you time to talk without interrupting, so give Eddie time to talk, please.
You know, there is a lot of houses up and down through here, but there's a difference between a county road that carries traffic, and this is a pretty good county road through there. It has been for a long time. It's got two access points, and it sure isn't, you know, of a morning, I'm sure there's more traffic, and of evening, there's more traffic, but through the day, there's very little traffic. That's just the way it is. And I can't think of anything else except the water runoff here that's worried about water going across these houses. This water over here is going to be maintained and taken down the ditch line. Isn't that correct, Randy?
Sure.
It's not going to go across the road. That's where it's going to go. That's the way it runs now down through there. And all that stuff's got to be worked out with Randy and everything and the engineers to where we try to help the situation out there, not hurt it. Or not, at least not make it any worse. That's what we're trying to do. Because right now out there, there's a weed patch that's got, I don't think any grass underneath it, it's just weeds. And it's soaking very little water, or holding very little water when it comes a heavy rain. Even though you walk out there and see the weeds, it's just stems sticking up there.
Does anybody else got any questions for Eddie on this subject?
No, sir.
What were you thinking?
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to share?
Well, if I were a prospective buyer, I would much rather drive my car out on a subdivision road than to back out onto Cajun Club Road. And I think your developer would want to look at that aspect, too, mm-hmm. as far as the amount of expense he's going to have to put into the project for Cajun Club Road, curbing and the storm sewer and all that. I mean, that may be a trade-off there.
But when you figure a 31-foot back-to-back curb, it's a whole lot cheaper to do a Cajun Club than it is the county road. It's like putting the new road regulations in. Just figure out what a 31-foot back-to-back curb road cost.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions?
Why wasn't the green belt put along the Cajun Club and put back in the area
where it is? Ma'am, I can't hear you, and due respect, we've already let you guys speak, so we're trying to, if you want to come up here and ask that question, I'll let you. I'm not trying to be rude, but, you know, if we keep doing this all night, everybody's just going to be here all night, and that's the reason we want you to have your questions ready and answer them, or ask them, and then try to not, everybody ask the same question over and over, so, but if you got a good question, I'll allow you to come up here and ask it.
Well, we pretty well asked that one, and that's...
I didn't hear it.
Well, if they could use the green space for a road instead of a green space. Well, Eddie pretty well answered that. The developer was not going to do that.
That's what he told me. Yeah. All I can tell you is what he told me.
Yeah. Yeah. He may have to have another consideration.
Did you...
I mean, we're not violating any code with what no. we're doing.
Did you understand that?
I did. It just doesn't make sense to okay. me because... Said we're not going to,
yeah.
but he's not having to be here and be accountable to all the people that are losing while he's financially
gaining.
That's
yeah, I understand.
It's the
and
same.
We're trying to work with all of you, believe yeah. me. I don't mean to sound rude, but.
I understand, sir. Thank you.
I hope I'm not rude. But.
You know, this here isn't any different than a lot of the other ones we hear. You know, everybody's got their house, their lot, they got their piece of the world, but they don't want nobody else to have a piece of it. If they do something that they don't like. And that's not the way the code's written or the laws are written. I mean, we're not wanting to cause anybody any difficulties, but that's what a lot of it boils down to.
Well.
In a way.
We're all human, so.
That's right.
You know.
Everybody wants their thing. That's
a different subject entirely. We don't need to even talk about that.
Could sidewalks be considered? I mean, would they consider?
I don't think the developer will spend the money to put them in. And Randy said,
I mean, that would
cure
the walking to the bus and the kids riding the bicycle up in front of that 15 driveways. And
well, like I said, if you look at it, there's four major intersections.
Yeah.
In front of it, the bus stops at every one of those.
Yeah, but they're still going to have to walk down the street somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't be walking across people's yards and driveways and.
You know, like I said, everything there meets the code. I don't think I could talk to the developer and give you an answer at the next meeting. But what happens when you start adding all these things on,
yeah,
it just makes it unfeasible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got a sidewalk here. How does the other kids up and down these other blocks get there now? Same difference.
What did you say? You've not got to speak. No, the lady behind you.
On the other side, you can see there's only two lots between each intersection.
Okay.
So that's why the kids aren't having to walk. There's only two lots. It's not the same on the other side. You're seeing four lots or so.
Okay.
You know, that's in that very little area. You can look. There's four lots. One, two, three, four. Going down, they're road up. I mean, it's what you want to look at.
Has anybody else got any more questions for Ed? Nobody? Are there anything special that anybody wants from Ed between now and next week?
Has the developer purchased the property yet?
It's under contract.
I do have one more question. After the study, to make room for retention basins if needed for drainage, you will have to change some of this down here. I know one of these lots is a sign lot, but there's already an existing easement.
Mm-hmm. We've got that easement. You know, there may have to be something put in there to deter water. I don't know, Randy. That's hard to tell you until the engineer does his thing. There's
too
many.
Can I ask what time frame we're looking at?
On what?
A time frame
for this to happen.
Huh?
We have plenty of starting hours. We're going to have development finished.
Before you can even start, you got to do all the engineering plans. They got to get approved. The infrastructure has to go in. There's a
How
sewer
much time
line.
Are you talking at, roughly?
You know, say the 34 lots, I figure it's probably a 3-4 year build out.
I'm sorry,
3 to 4 years.
Is that what you need to know? Okay. No more. We done?
We're done.
Through with me?
We'll see you Monday.
Okay. Is there anything that you want me to bring you or anything you request?
I'd like to see a flat of the on the big page. No.
Oh.
No one big one. What's right there? I didn't know we had
any. Now, is the plat pretty close to, you said it was off some as far as where it looked?
No,
like
I said the aerial photography was off.
The aerial.
Yeah.
Aerial.
It hasn't been. That copy you got hadn't been tweaked, but we're not talking anything. It'll vary over a foot or two.
Right. Not off of this.
No.
Yeah.
Will vary over a foot or two?
This was all done conceptual.
Off this little flat, or the big flat.
Yeah.
But the aerial is what's off, and they can be off 30 feet pretty easily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it depends on where the photo was taken.
Yeah.
But, no, those lots will, we're not talking about changing anything there. Everything is pretty precise.
Yeah.
Everything's always tweaked from the preliminary to the final.
Okay, we'll see you next Monday, 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Any of you that wants to come back and see what happens, you're welcome to come. There won't be no discussing it, but you're welcome to come and see how things turn out. So thank you all for your time and patience.
You
bet.
And please, you can give a call and email them as well. I'd love to talk to you. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I will never, ever
design. Folks, I'd like you going outside, please. If you're going to visit, we still got some stuff we need to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we off?
Eddie's just doing what he told me to do.
I realize that. Yeah.